This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Coming down the mountain with the apostles, Jesus stopped in a level area where there were a great number of disciples. A large crowd of people was with them from Jerusalem and all over Judea to as far north as the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. People who had come to hear Jesus and be healed of their diseases and even be freed from unclean spirits. Indeed, the whole crowd was trying to touch Jesus because power was coming out of him and healing them all. Looking at the disciples, Jesus said, "You who are poor are blessed, for the reign of God is yours. You who hunger now are blessed, for you'll be filled. You who weep now are blessed, for you'll laugh. You are blessed when people hate you, when they scorn and insult you and spurn your name as evil because of the chosen one. On the day they do so, rejoice and be glad. Your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets the same way. But woe to you, rich, for you are now receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are full, for you'll go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you'll weep in your grief. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way. To you who hear me, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. When they slap you on one cheek, turn and give them the other. When they take your coat, let them have your shirt as well. Give to all who beg from you. When someone takes what is yours, don't demand it back. Do to others what you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit does that do for you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good only to those who do good to you, what credit does that do you? Even sinners do as much. If you lend to those you expect to repay you, what credit does that do you? Even sinners lend to other sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend without expecting repayment, and your reward will be great. You'll rightly be called children of the Most High, since God is good even to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be compassionate as your loving God is compassionate. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. In the Beatitudes, Jesus tells us that God is with those who were thought to be abandoned by God. People experiencing poverty, hunger, grief, hatred, because their God had abandoned them. Surely, if their God was with them, they never would have experienced those things in the first place. If you went through poverty, grief, hunger, hatred, day after day after day after day, then it was probably time to find yourself a new God, because yours had left you. The people Jesus named as blessed were thought to have been abandoned by God. But Jesus tells us that God is with them. Now, up until this point, I think most of us are on board with Jesus. We've heard the Beatitudes enough times, and we are grounded enough in God's grace to trust that God is with those people who are experiencing poverty, hunger, hatred, grief, those often thought of as abandoned by God. But those Jesus calls blessed weren't just considered abandoned by God, they were also thought to be unworthy of God. Unworthy of the presence of God. Now, we might think that we're still on board with this when it applies to those Jesus talks about in the beginning of our text, those experiencing poverty, hunger, hatred, and grief. Of course, they are not unworthy of the presence of God. Of course, we're on board with that one, Jesus. We're on board so far. But then, Jesus keeps talking, and it becomes a whole lot more challenging. Suddenly, Jesus wants us to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse us, pray for those who mistreat us, even those who would slap us and steal from us. Suddenly, the idea that God is with those people, those unworthy, hurtful, hateful people, suddenly that idea becomes a lot harder to accept. Jesus' teaching means that God is with the people that we hate, those that we think are unworthy of the presence of God, our enemies. Now, we might think that we can get out of this whole love your enemies thing, because we don't really consider ourselves as having enemies. I have never thought to myself, now that person right there is my arch enemy. We might think that we can get out of this love your enemies thing because we don't define people as our enemies. We might not have enemies, but we all have people that we would not consider our friends. It's the coworker who always gets the praise and promotions when we work just as hard, if not harder. It's the person that we never seem to be on the same wavelength with. We're always butting heads and are in disagreement. The person who seems to excel at those backhanded compliments. The person who excludes us, who makes us feel like an outsider, unwanted, unloved. The person whose worldviews are so contrary to our own that we cannot stand anything that they say. The person who has hurt us through word, action, or neglect. The person who, when we see them, our hackles rise and we go into that fight or flight mode. We might not consider ourselves as having enemies, but there are certainly people that we would not call friend. These are the people that we often think of as unworthy of God's love. How could God possibly love them? And yet Jesus teaches us that God loves those people just as much as God loves us. God is with those people just as much as God is with us. They too are blessed. And Jesus calls on us to love those people. Now, Jesus knows this is really hard for us. He tells us that if it was easy, well, anybody could do it. He knows it's hard. And he asks us to do it all the same. So today, we are called to love our enemies. And we're going to listen to James, who tells us to act on this word. Among your seats are paper hearts and pens. And everyone needs at least one paper heart. You're welcome to do more than one if you feel so moved. Take a moment now to get your heart and your pen. If you can't find a pen, it's on the little shelf beneath your seat. And once you have your heart and your pen, I want you to think of at least one person that you struggle to love. Someone who it's hard for you to believe that God could love that person. Someone that you would never, ever consider your friend. And I don't want you to just think of some like nebulous group of people, like all of the Democrats or all of the Republicans or every single person who has ever cut me off on the highway. No. I want you to think of an actual person. Think of them by name. Who is that person that just you cannot find it within yourself to love? And now I want you to pray for that person. And I don't mean in like, oh, bless their heart, sarcastic kind of prayer. I mean a real prayer. Pray that they would have good health. Pray that their lives would be full of joy. Pray that they would have the courage and the comfort they need when they face things they're afraid of. Pray that their families would be full of love. Pray that their children would excel at school or sports or the arts or whatever it is they care about. Pray that they would not experience frustration or heartache or difficulty. Pray that they would live good lives. Take a moment and think of that person by name and write down that name and write down a prayer for them, a real prayer, a prayer that is full of love. Take a moment now. Once you've taken that moment, I want you to take your heart, and you don't need to share it with anybody else. This is for you. Put it in your pocket or somewhere else where you are going to carry it with you all day, so that when you put your hand in your pocket, you feel that heart and you remember to pray. so that your prayer is not a one-off that happens right now, but that you continue to do it throughout the rest of this day and hopefully throughout the rest of this week and so on. My siblings, it's not easy to pray for and to love our enemies, those people that we would never call friend. And it's not always easy to believe that God could love them just as much as God loves us. If it was easy, anyone could do it. Jesus knows that it is hard, and he calls us to do it all the same. Loving your enemy, praying for those who hurt you, is what it means to be a child of God. Being a child of God means believing in God's presence and love. Believing that it is so expansive and inclusive that it encompasses even those who are thought of as abandoned or unworthy of God. God's love encompasses even those that we do not love. Those people we struggle to believe God could love. And being a child of God means that we are called to love those people too. Jesus knows this is not easy. If it was easy, he says, well, anyone could do it. But my siblings, we are not just anyone. We are God's children, and we are called to love as God loves. Amen.